God's here. You know that? I am not by nature a real emotional person, but there are times when God just touches you and you know it's Him. Yet there's no sense in denying it, and you might as well just go with it. Just go with it. Let God do a work in you. I remember John and Shirley not too long after we started. By the way, were you aware that it would be almost exactly 2 years ago that it was our, Debbie and I's, first Sunday here at First Open Bible? I can't believe how much gray hair I have developed since then. But as a good friend of mine said one time, gray hair is better than no hair. So 2 years. In some ways, it seems much, much, much longer than that. Some of you people really wear on a guy. But in other ways, it seems like it was yesterday. I get some reminders on Facebook memories, if you get some of those. And here we were driving that U-Haul. Well, we were loading the U-Haul truck just a few days before we drove up north. That driving a U-Haul truck all the way from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. It's no fun to drive that in a car, much less drive it in a U-Haul. But I can remember that just like it was yesterday. I remember going to the banks and closing on the sale of our home there, and then the closing of a purchase of a home here, and then meeting a gang of people that I had barely met maybe one time before to help us unload the truck. Hallelujah, that's right. Amen. Thankful for strong backs and willing helpers. And what a great day that was. And there's been some really wonderful days in between. There's been some challenging days, as there always will be. That'll never stop until Jesus comes again, by the way. There's going to be some challenging days. But guess what? There's going to be some good days too. And it's the good days that make the challenging days all the more worthwhile. I can appreciate the good days more when I face the challenges. And so I encourage you today, maybe you're feeling discouraged today. Maybe things haven't been going your way, but we serve a God of hope. We serve a God of hope. Today is not the last day. Today is not the last day. God is in control, and God is eager to meet you where you are and to instill in your heart once again that renewed hope. How do you remember when you got saved? I remember that day. I don't remember the exact day, but I remember when it happened. I was 8 years old, and I walked down this aisle at East Dayton Open Bible on the corner of Pleasant and Hedges Street in Dayton, Ohio. I was crying, and my mom says, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I just think I need to go pray." And so she said, "Do you want me to go with you?" And I said, "Yes." And so as an eight-year-old boy, I walked up to that altar at East Dayton Open Bible Church in Dayton, Ohio, and I gave my heart to Jesus at 8 years old. I remember that day. I remember that day. I remember that day. Have I always lived the way I should have since then? No, there's been some days that I've had to maybe rededicate and recommit myself. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Huh? Sometimes to my shame, I've had to do that. But I'm thankful that there's a God who never gives up on me. And He never gives up on you either. As I said at the outset, my name is Mark Cullum. Some of you may have got here a few minutes late. Some of you may have joined online a little bit late. And I'm honored to serve as a connection pastor here at First Open Bible. And again, it's just great to be with everyone here today. I want to also just say thanks to everyone who makes Sunday mornings happen and Wednesdays happen. There's a lot of work that goes into it. We have a custodial staff, obviously our worship team who's front and center, people behind the scenes, our tech team, our kids ministry workers, our youth workers, our safety team, our greeters who are here every Sunday. God bless you. We appreciate you, and we're thankful for your service to us. So, how was your Thanksgiving? Pretty good? Anyone overdo it a little bit on the food? Anyone overdo it a lot on the food? In some ways, I think Thanksgiving and Christmas kind of get a bad rap when it comes to comments about overeating. How many of you found out that it's not what you eat between Thanksgiving and Christmas that's the problem? It's what you eat between Christmas and Thanksgiving that's... But to be fair, I found too that it's like, especially fast food workers, and if you go to your favorite coffee shop, they're also kind. They tend to be more kind this time of year and very compassionate. I can't tell you how many times just in the last several weeks I've had these food service workers have commented to me as they handed me my order this year, and they said, "Oh, sorry about your weight." I'm not quite sure which weight they meant, but I'd like to think it was that it had to do with I had to stay a little. Few extra minutes for my order, but whatever it is, I think Thanksgiving and Christmas they get stuck with that, and it shouldn't be that way, because frankly, if we're in the habit of overeating, we do it pretty much any time we want it, right? But thankfully, there's always food. Maybe there's not as much. Maybe the pickings are a little slimmer than they are around Christmas time. There's a lot more goodies at Christmas time, right? But the best goodie of all, as already mentioned, we had prayer before church today. And somebody said the phrase we use a lot, Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, sometimes things can become cliche, but just because it's a cliche doesn't mean it's not true. Amen. This really is all about him. Amen. Even Thanksgiving is all about him. And even all the days between Thanksgiving and Christmas are all about him. And all the days between Christmas and Thanksgiving next year are all about him. It's all about Jesus. But we take this time of year to focus our attentions on his coming to earth. Our theme this month is the heart of Christmas. What is the heart of Christmas? Well, we've expressed it. The church has done so for thousands of years in what we call Advent season. And we focus on several main themes. We focus on, and we will over the next several weeks, things like hope and peace and joy and love. Those are all at the heart of Christmas. Because Jesus is at the heart of Christmas. And it's in him that we find hope and peace and joy and love. This morning, we'll discover, perhaps just rediscover once again, the hope that comes to us through the birth of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, can anyone use a little hope this morning? There was more than seven. That's his number. However many people raise their hand, seven people raise their hand. There were more. It's God's number. That's right. I can use some hope. Guess what? I'll probably could use some hope tomorrow. I would think. All of us can use a little hope. And because it is the first Sunday of Advent, we can finally say the Christmas season is finally upon us. Now, some of you, I know Christmas season, that began November the 1st. That was the day after, or it was the same day that you went out to all the stores to collect all that half-price Halloween candy, right? But how many of you remember, as far back as you can remember, to your childhood? Some of you have to think a little bit longer into the past than some of us. But how many of you remember really, 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 really wanting a specific gift for that one particular Christmas? Think about it for just a second. What was that one thing you really, really, really wanted for Christmas? And then tell the person that's sitting next to you. And don't say something corny. Oh, I wanted you, you know. Long before boyfriends and girlfriends and stuff. What was that one thing that you wanted? Well, you people sure did want a lot. Either that or what you wanted sure need a whole lot more explanation, you know? How many wanted the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip? Yeah, that was way before your time, man. Huh? Anybody into Hot Wheels? That one, Malibu Barbie. Too old for Hot Wheels? You're never too old for Hot Wheels, Steve Allard. Come over to my house. We can look at some Hot Wheels. I got a bunch of them. I can tell you one that I had, and you're gonna think I'm really vain, but and I am sometimes. But one year, I think I was about 12 or 13 years old. This was back when I had hair. I had a lot of it. And one year, you know what I wanted for Christmas more than anything else? No, not a perm. I wanted a blow dryer, a handheld pistol blow dryer. Guess what I got for Christmas that year? A handheld pistol blow dryer. The sky opened up, the angel choirs descended, and sang glory to God in the highest, peace and dry hair on earth to men. That's what I wanted. That's what I really, really, really wanted. And I got it. How many of you really, 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 really wanted something? And then you opened all the presents, and what you really, really, really wanted wasn't there. There's an insurance company that does a commercial. Said, what did you get, Johnny? I got this insurance company. I don't know that I can mention it on live stream, but it's the Freedom Mutual or something like that. Said, and you can customize your auto insurance any way you want it. What did you get? To his brother. And he kicks it. He goes, I got a bike, you know. Said, that's what we wanted, you know, when we were kids. Some things we really, really hope to get, we got. Some things we really hope to get, we didn't get. I'm sure you've all seen the movie A Christmas Story. Ralphie. What's Ralphie want? Red Ryder BB gun, right? Oh, man. He was going to be, and he's going to take down Black Bart with that one, remember? Huh? Had it all planned out in his head. Huh? You'll shoot your eye out with that kid, yeah. Everywhere he went. Huh? And guess what? He shot his eye out with it. But all the gifts were opened. His brother fell asleep with his Zeppelin. Mom and Dad were sitting on the couch and said, wait, Ralphie, I think there's something behind there over there in the corner. Why don't you go grab that? And it was a Red Ryder BB gun. And an entire movie was made out of the hope for a Red Ryder BB gun and all that transpired until he finally got it. One of the best stories in the whole wide world. But there's an even better one, and it's in the passages of Scripture. Of some other people that were really, 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 really hoping for something. And they finally got it. Phil and Janelle Gentz are going to come and share and read the scriptures for us this morning of our scripture passages. And are going to tell us this story from both the Old Testament and the New Testament.
I'm reading Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms, bloodstained by war, will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
Matthew 1:22-23. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Romans 15:4. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. There is hope. And it's at the very heart of Christmas. It's not because of the gifts that we give, but it's because of the birth of this child that Isaiah talked about so many years ago. One of the most well-known passages of scripture, as Janelle had shared with us, from Isaiah chapter 9. A child will be born. A son is given. By the way, that's very intentional. The child, the baby, was born, but the son was given. The son wasn't born. The son has always been. The son is from everlasting to everlasting. But the child was born. At a particular moment in human history, there's this baby, Jesus, that enters the picture. Now, if you know anything, if you read anything from the book of Isaiah, if you read the previous 9 chapters, it's not a very pretty picture. It is not a very pretty picture at all. The backdrop of this is a nation that is really in the midst of turmoil and corruption and darkness. The children of Israel have been suffering under the reigns of some really, really, really terrible kings, Ahaz and Jotham. These guys were as corrupt could be. Taking bribes. We think, oh, it'd be nice to live back in Bible times. You don't want to live back in Bible times. You've never had it so good. It was a rough existence. Corrupt leadership that had led the people far away from God. Let me say here, be thankful for leaders, whether they're church leaders, whether they're political leaders, that lead in paths of righteousness. Because people, the Bible refers to us as sheep for a good reason. Sadly, we are far too easily swayed. We buy into the charisma and the flashiness of eloquent people. And they can lead us down some dangerous paths. And they have. Israel was sick. This was a very, very, very dark time in their history. So Isaiah is writing these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knowing that if something is going to change, God is going to have to intervene. This is not going to happen by electing a new king. This is not going to come by just changing a few political offices. It's not going to happen. Only God can bring Israel back to himself. The kingdom was falling apart. And these people didn't know which way to go. They needed some words of hope. And Isaiah came through. Isaiah came through. This passage, he points out a couple of important things. This prophecy acknowledges that there is brokenness, there is darkness that had come upon Israel. Sin and corruption had led to this darkness. But the second most important thing, he says, these people who have been walking around in darkness have seen a great light.
Please say something else. Please say something else. Autism.
Okay, they've seen a great light. And this great light came from the birth of a child. Said from the birth of a child. The Jewish people here in the Old Testament needed these words to remind them that God had not forgotten about them.
Yeah.
And the book of Matthew also reminds us of Isaiah's writings. The gospel writer is making the connection between what Isaiah had prophetically written just a couple chapters earlier in chapter 7. And what had taken place in a manger in Bethlehem. Look, he says in Isaiah chapter 7, a virgin will conceive a child, and she'll give birth to this son, and will call him Emmanuel, that is, God with us. Can you imagine being a guy named Joseph? This is an interesting guy. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about Joseph. We know he was a carpenter by trade, and we know that some way his lineage traces back to David, but other than that, we don't know a whole lot about him, other than he was engaged to this gal named Mary, and Mary had been supernaturally had conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit this son that was to be born. You ever been between a rock and a hard place? What do you do with this? I'm engaged, but she's pregnant. Now, I'm no rocket scientist, but I can put two and two together. If somebody's pregnant, something happened, right? Your girlfriend's been unfaithful, dude. How many of Joseph's buddies told him that? An angel comes and tells Joseph what had happened. I suspect Joseph probably shared this with some of his buddies, and they're going, yeah. Right. I'm grateful for a guy like Joseph who believed God over people. Sometimes you and I, we need to believe God and what his word says above what other people tell us, even above what our own hearts and minds tell us sometimes. Maybe on both sides of the family, there was no hope for this marriage. This just wasn't going to work out. It wouldn't have been the first time. Probably wasn't the last time that an engagement fell apart. But Joseph put his hope in God. And God took that hope and that obedience and through Joseph fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Do you know how how many centuries earlier it was that Isaiah wrote his prophecy? Somewhere around 750 years or so before the birth of Jesus, before the fulfillment of this prophecy. How many of you are willing to wait 750 years for a promise to come true? I suspect some of us have difficulty waiting 750 seconds for a promise to come true. 750 years. Now, sometimes we have the idea that Advent means waiting. There is a component of waiting in it, but it really means preparation. It's getting ourselves ready for the coming of Jesus and reminding ourselves of his first coming. But guess what? There was a long wait. Matter of fact, 400 of those years was utter silence. No prophecy at all from God between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New. 400 years of silence. Like I said, you think you've got it bad? In some ways, we've never had it so good. We, and some of you did this morning, you came, fell on your knees before God, and guess what? God met you here. And I suspect, knowing God the way that I do, he spoke to your heart this morning.
That's right.
Whether you came up here or stayed back there, God met you where you are.
That's right.
No silence from the heavens these days. Isaiah says this child is to be named Emmanuel, which means God with us. We live in some very serious times. We might say that they are dark times. Not just talking about the economy. I'm not just talking about the political climate. I'm not even just talking about the religious climate. I'm just saying just kind of all these things together make for a very, very challenging time for us. Have you ever wondered why the Christmas story seems to resonate in pretty much everybody's heart? Whether they're Christians or not, that it resonates the way that it does. Maybe it's this. Maybe we see our world in the same way that Isaiah saw his world. Pastor preached not too long ago and talked about the vision that Isaiah had, and he was ushered into the throne room of God, and the most holy man in Israel just falls apart at the seams, okay? Falls on his face. He can't even look up to God. And he said, "Woe is me. This is, I am being crushed by the holiness of God right now. I am a man of unclean lips." The most holy man in Israel concludes, in the presence of the holy God, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips." That's how Isaiah saw things. Do you ever feel that way? "Lord, I live in a corrupt generation, and sometimes, Lord, I see the corruption in my own heart." Maybe it's not just the world out there that we should be most worried about, but the world in here. Because the world out here will never change unless the world inside here changes. Our world is dark. There is corruption. There is sin that so easily entangles all of us. There's war and disease and conflict and oppression all around us. Pastor Harris has been sharing the last few weeks about some of the divisions that have resulted from that. Like the children of Israel of old, we too need a Savior. We need a child, the Christ child, to usher in a light that helps to in some way push back the darkness that is all around us. And in all too many cases, the darkness that is in us. Often we hope that our circumstances will change. I do. Nothing wrong with that. Even Jesus, when he prayed in the garden, he said, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. Let these circumstances be different than what they are. Maybe we believe that if our external circumstances will change, maybe that will bring about an internal change in us. And maybe it will. But maybe it'll be the other way around. Maybe it's an internal change in us that will bring the external changes we want to see around us. Or perhaps, maybe even better, the internal change in us will help us to see the world in a different light. Have you ever once questioned God and asked him, why don't you do something about all the evil in the world? All the bad things that happen, especially the bad things that happen to good people. You ever ask that question? Whether verbally or just on the inside? By the way, that question and the implication behind it, that if there is a God, he would do something about it. That's one of the prime reasons people have a hard time coming to God. Because they don't believe that God loves them. Because if he did love them, he would fix all of this. That's their reasoning. Why doesn't God do something about all of these horrible things? Pastors preached on racism and division in the church and division in politics. Why doesn't God do something to bring the peace there? Well, there's two answers to that question that I could think of. First of all, God already did. God already did. He sent his son Jesus. Pastor preached on that too. I got a lot of stuff from what you preached on. John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God's already done something about the evil in the world. He'll forgive your sins and grant to you everlasting life if you will come to him. So the first answer is God did do something about all the evil in the world. But guess what? He's still doing something about the evil in the world. I'm convinced that really, on the whole, things could be much worse than what they are. I'm not talking about any given day. Some days can be worse than others, that's for sure. And there are some really, really, really challenging days. But on the whole, all things put together, things could be worse. You could have one more toothache. Right? So it could be at least measurably worse than what it is. I think in some ways God is restraining a whole lot of evil. A wise man once replied to that complaint about God not doing anything about the evil in the world, or asking why he doesn't. He replied to him and said, are you okay if God starts with you? Don't. As bad as things get, and they can get pretty bad sometimes. There's no tippy-toeing around this. There's no sugarcoating it. Things can get bad sometimes. But Advent reminds us that whatever it is we hope for in our lives, maybe it's for healing, maybe it's for restoration, maybe it's for forgiveness, maybe it's for a fresh start. I don't know where you are this morning. It could be any of those things. Can I tell you that hope is available to us through Jesus. Emmanuel, God who is with us. God is not some distant God. God is very close by. Paul, in talking to the Athenians, the philosophers who were, they were very religious, but he said, let me tell you about this unknown God. He said, in him, In this God, we live and move and have our being. And this God is not very far from any of us. Doesn't matter where you are today. God is not very far away. Matter of fact, he's just a prayer away. He's just a holler out to heaven, God, I need you. He's that close. And he will be there, Johnny, on this spot. Hope doesn't mean that all the conflict in this world goes away. It doesn't mean even that all the inner conflict goes away. It doesn't mean the difficulties and struggles and trials disappear. No, hope is simply the result of being in the presence of God. You see, when we look at our world and we see that there is darkness and corruption and all of these bad things, that's not the only thing that is present. God is present as well. And that presence is what gives us hope. But again, the hard part about hope is that sometimes it takes longer than we would like for it to be fulfilled. You know, I want it now. That's kind of our mindset when it comes to pretty much everything. You know, we're the ones that stand in front of the microwave and yell, hurry up, you know. The Jewish people had to wait 700 years plus. Sometimes hope requires patience. The story was told of a man who was walking through the park one day and noticed a bunch of kids out playing baseball. And so he walked over and saw a boy sitting in the dugout. And he said, hey, what's the score? And the boy said, well, we're behind 18 to nothing. Man said, boy, you don't seem to be bothered all that much by being so far behind. The boy replied, why should I be? We haven't even got up to bat yet. There's still time. There's always time. There's always time for God to come through. There's always time for God to fulfill his promise to you. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be the day after tomorrow. But God will never be late. God will never be late. Isaiah saw that one day in the future, God would bring this great light and salvation through the birth of a child. And again, it wasn't until hundreds of years later that Matthew recorded the birth of Jesus, the fulfillment of this prophecy. Jesus is the presence of God in this world. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'll send another in my stead, the Holy Spirit, to not just be with us geographically, but to be within us. Again, you think you've got it bad. In some ways, you've never had it so good. The Holy Spirit to dwell within us. People had to run to find Jesus. They ran ahead of him from town to town. They had to go to Jerusalem to sacrifice in Old Testament days just to be near the presence of God. We have the presence of God with us 24/7. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. God offers us forgiveness of sin. God is destroying and will continue to destroy evil, and one day he ultimately will destroy it all. That's the second advent, when Jesus comes again. Oh, and by the way, in case you hadn't heard, God always bats last. He's the home team. He always bats last. Well, why do we read Isaiah's prophecy every year around Christmas time? Well, it's because we can be reminded once again and see the faithfulness of God in the past. We can see it in the birth of Jesus, and we can see it, I hope, in our daily lives. To give me a hope for today. and an unwavering hope for the future. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. As Phil read from Romans, such things were written in the scripture long ago to teach us. The scriptures were written to give us hope and to give us encouragement as we patiently wait, or as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Here Paul says that everything that was written in the past, all of those prophecies, anybody do that, read through the Bible in a year? How many of you really struggle with the first 5, 6, 7 books of the Bible to get wade through that? You go, when are we going to get through the begats, you know? And why 7 clean birds and 3 unclean birds? And it can get really tedious. There's not a word in the Old Testament that was not written but for this purpose, to teach us to trust God and to hold on to that trust in God, that he will hear us, that he will answer our prayers. What was written is to give us endurance and encouragement so that we can have a strong hope in the future. It's important that we revisit the Old Testament from time to time, because it's the fulfillment of the Old Testament that we find in Jesus. And Jesus is the hope that all of us need, and the only hope that we have. God can be trusted to come through. It may take some time. You may not know how, and you may not know when. But he'll do it. He will do it. And he will meet us in our greatest time of need. Brent, if you will come this morning. I suspect that there are a few distractions in your life these days. Anybody got your Christmas lists all completed? Have you sent that out to everybody for the Christmas gift exchanges? Have you received all those Christmas lists? And have you checked your shopping list and already purchased all those gifts for Christmas? Or do you think you have a few things to do? How many of you got your Christmas tree up? I mean, have you got whatever decorations you're going to put up? Wow, you people need to get with it. It wasn't even 7. Christmas is coming. Going to be here in less than a month. 4 weeks from today, right? Whew. A few of you just started sweating. I hope Walmart's open this afternoon. You got to get on this thing. Maybe it's busyness, but maybe it's some hurts too. Some people are facing a first Christmas without a loved one, a spouse, a child. Some are walking through a difficult time in this life. Maybe they need a healing in their body, and that can be distracting, can't it? Shoulder surgeries can be distracting, can't they? Oh, yes, they can. It's a constant reminder that all is not well just yet. But through all of that, there's still hope. And it's to be found in Jesus. He arrived in a manger a couple thousand years or so ago, and he's coming again. I want to conclude before prayer just with words to a song that I dearly love. And then Brent will close us with a song after this. And it says, to stand in the pouring rain and believe the sun will shine again. To know that the grave is not the end. To feel the embrace of grace and cross the line where real life begins. And to know in your heart that you found the missing part. There is a hope. There is a peace that will make this life complete. For every man, woman, boy, and girl who's looking for heaven in the real world. It happened one night with a tiny baby's birth. God heard creation crying, so he sent heaven to earth. He's the hope. He's the peace that will make this life complete. For every man, woman, boy, and girl looking for heaven in the real world. Why? Because Jesus is heaven in the real world. Jesus Christ is our living hope. God is always right on time, and he knows exactly what we need, and he can be entrusted to reveal that light in Christ in order to push back the darkness in our own lives. In a land full of deep darkness, the scriptures are true. A light has indeed shined. Let's stand together this morning as we pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to a close this morning, we just want to pause and say thank you for that person that's standing on our right and that person that is standing on our left. Lord, we find great comfort and great peace and great security, Lord, in being part of a family of believers. But Jesus, you're the focal point of our church family. There would not be a church family had you not come. We would have no hope in this life or in the life to come were it not for your son, Jesus. So today, Lord, we celebrate. At the heart of Christmas, Lord, the first thing that we look at and see and find is hope that is found in our Savior, Jesus. So God, today as we ponder these things in our heart, we pray that you would seal your word and the truth of this word to our hearts today, Lord. Lord, don't let any of us leave today unsure of the hope that we have in you. But God, just press that into our hearts and into our minds and reassure us once again that even when things look their darkest, a light has shined and is still shining today. Be with us, we pray, for the sake of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen.